I do believe in the edit or in the narration of the film, the way we do it, something must be missing. We don't want to be over-explanatory. We don't want to give everything to the viewer. He must work a bit to fill the gaps sometimes.
Hello everyone, I'm more than ecstatic because on today's episode of We Need to Talk About Oscar, I'm joined by someone who has worked on some of my and many others' favorite movies, including The Favorite, The Lobster, The Killing of a Sacred Deer, Monos, The Cursed, and of course, not to mention his latest, our main talking point, Poor Things. Please welcome Oscar-nominated Eddie and European Film Award winner editor Yorgos Mavropsaridis. Hi Yorgos, how is it going?
Hi, thank you for inviting me. It's going fine, thank you.
I feel like I can't not touch on your, needless to say, very successful collaboration with Yorgos Lanthimos. It seems to be an unavoidable topic. So not just to get it out of the way, but rather start with it and then move on. In this fast-paced world, permanence is increasingly rare. And he has worked with multiple amazing screenwriters, cinematographers, composers, production designers, and so on. But the editor remains to be you during basically all of his features and shorts since the start of the 2000s. And hopefully it will stay like this for as long as it's possible. If you could only give one example for each, what is one thing that a successful working relationship like yours definitely needs, and one thing that it absolutely cannot have?
Briefly, I must say that I've started working with Yorgos Lanthimos ever since he started doing commercials. I was already in the commercials, so we started like this, and we seem to have connected because of our common understanding and appreciation of the filmic language. And from the commercials, Yorgos was trying or experimenting to find his means of articulating this audiovisual language. So it was all an experiment to reach to his personal audiovisual language, to find it and discover it. And yes, we did. We started doing Kineta, which was completely different from the other films. Kineta was more handheld camera, but already the basic aspects of his work were there, like a lot of improvisation with the actors. The script was only 16 pages long, but he expanded it by using a lot of improv for the actors. And then we did Dogtooth. And I think it was in the Dogtooth during the edit that we connected more, because it was one of the things, the positive thing about the collaboration is that when two people are in the same room, if the work gets better, if the creative ideas come, it's somehow a bit metaphysical. Something nice is happening, and then yes, you don't want to lose that. And of course, it depends on the attitude of mainly of the editor to be open to ideas and also suggest things, and you know, to have the work progressing. One other aspect, if I can say, especially with Yorgos, is that because Yorgos is working very hard on his films, he always, spends a lot of time in the script, a lot of preparation for during the shooting, and a lot of work then later in the edit. But also, he always, with its next film, he demands you to be more than you can do, like, you know, surpass your obstacles and be more creative with each film, but also to be truthful to this world that he's creating, you know, this special lanthimic world that I say. The other question you said, it was about what to avoid. I guess, yes, you should avoid being obstinate about an opinion you have, or, you know, to be ready to accept that this is not working and find it in a more inventive way, in more creative way, not to be, as I would say, some editors are a bit passive aggressive in the sense that, okay, the director says something, but they somehow don't expand it, don't make it even, you know, better than the supposition. So positiveness is a very good thing. Negativeness is not a good thing, because we have to keep in mind that the world that we are asked to collaborate on, it's the director's vision. So we have to be truthful to that, but also not to lose our personal contribution to it, not to lose ourselves in it, or to be there truthfully and sincerely helpful in this situation.
I see. That's a good advice. And now on to Poor Things. Despite its starting point, it has quite a linear storyline, and its craziness doesn't stem from some unexpected twists. Rather, it's sometimes dramatic, sometimes not, playfulness with a hint, or at times a bit more of morbidity. However, it's quite a long emotional process, basically a longer spanning coming of age story packed into over 2 hours of runtime, almost 2.5 hours. How do you start on a project like this? Where do you begin?
Well, usually with Yorgos, we have our own method of developing the film, which is, you know, we have elaborated during the years, and usually we start with that. Like, for example, when Yorgos was in Hungary in the studios shooting the film, I start editing, I get the material the next day, I have it in Athens, and so I build the assembly. I'm not trying to do anything during that time, just following very strictly, or of course, with my interpretation, what the script says, the order of the script. It's true what you say, that this film is more linear than others we have done, because it was always to follow the main character and her development. I don't think we did any big changes in the structure, because it was there, like, you know, all the stages of her development, the first stage in the black-white situation, and then she goes to Lisbon, so it's a bit episodic, so you go from here to there and you don't need to come back and mix this up. So in that sense, it was let's say our easiest film, in the sense that we knew already which road to follow, which way to follow to the end. The difficulty, of course, was to make this experience of Bella Baxter not a representation of reality, because something Lanthimos hates is the representation of reality. He wants us, we try to make the audience, the viewer, experience this situation and also come to face his own beliefs and ideas about what we're talking about and make a decision. Technically, what we do after the assembly, we start working with Yorgos, and of course, because this was a very long film, it was about 3.5 hours, the first assembly. We take it part by part, and we're trying to make it as perfect as possible in every scene. Like, we take care of the decoupage, how it is translated into the edit. We take care of the actors' performances, if this is the best or the other one. So in the end, we come with a fairly worked assembly. And then, although the music already exists on that film, that is the stage where the music comes in. And somehow it informs the rhythm and many of the things in the edit. So, for example, sometimes we use a lot of montage sequences, although they're not written in the script. If we need to push the film further and make it more interesting, or, you know, to eliminate certain parts, we usually have this method of using parts of the scene, either in order or out of order. There is a scene, as a matter of fact, after, you know, when it starts on the table when they have dinner and Bella Baxter doesn't want to eat. And during that discussion, we cut back or forward to different scenes that were in the script, but trying to make it a whole. So that way we compress time And also the contrasts and the juxtaposition that are created, maybe they are also very good for the thinking of the audience to draw him in this thought process. And of course, the music is, because it was the first film we used the composer on different films. We had classical music all the time. The music was all there from the beginning. But that was the case as well. We had the music, of course, the themes of the music differently played, or like, you know, with a single instrument or with more instruments or with an orchestra. And that gave us the freedom to use it, also to edit the music, to add some meters if we wanted more, or to cut some, or, you know, to, of course, to edit the picture on the music when we found the right pieces. And yeah, and this process takes some time. Then another stage would be when we feel like, okay, we have done something, let's share it with some of our friends. I mean, Yorgos has 6 or 7 friends, very positive people who we know their you know, their love of film. And so we call them, we see it together, it gives us some ideas. Then we try, you know, more things. And in the end, it's this process that we have developed. It's not different than the ones we did, for example, in our first films, in Kineta or in Doctor. We took our time. And also, the basic thing is that Yorgos has the final cut. What we have to follow is his vision of that film. And we finish the film when he's satisfied, yes, that we've tried everything we could and this is the best we can do. And we test again on a big screen to see if there are any mistakes or something we didn't notice. And of course, another important aspect for Yorgos and me is that during the edit, we have to have the best image we can. We have to have the best sound we can. Like, you know, like we see a finished film, we don't want things to be left out and imagine how they would be. So yes, we have a very capable assistant. We do a lot of visual effects already during the edit. Of course, not the perfect ones, but, you know, for example, the animals, they were combined in the edit. We had to decide which one goes with this one. And it's just to make the experience of viewing more as a viewer would see it, without, you know, interruption from mistakes or for things to be corrected and everything. So this is the usual procedure we follow.
And a rather broad question. How long do you usually have on a project? And how long do you feel like you actually need? Of course, I imagine it really differs between different projects. But are deadlines helpful for you or more of an enemy?
Well, as I said, Yorgos has he has, of course, the final cut, but he also controls the time of the situation so that it leaves us enough time for the film to mature inside our heads and to really, you know, not to rush to finish something. And sometimes we can even have, a soft cut. We leave it at that point, and then the dialogue edit comes, the music is finalized, or the sound effects have been done, as a soft cut mix we do. And then maybe we go back to it and see it with new eyes and understand how it is. So one thing I like with Yorgos is that he controls the edit environment. We don't have a lot of interruptions or interference from let's say the studio or other people. We present it when he's ready to present it, and you know, the time really, it's that, you know, I have an open contract somehow. I know how long we're going to work, but it always depends on when Yorgos say yes, now we have a final cut. It's not fixed, you know, the deadlines don't exist, which is great for me as well. But of course, we don't take it. It depends on the film, as you said before, how long the film needs. But in the end, we must be certain that, okay, we've tried all the things we wanted to try, because sometimes we try things without a reason. I mean, You can say, okay, let's try to do that. Let's try to do that to find, you know, it gives you, and that gives you more ideas and to finesse the film. And it's not a deadline about we have to finish that way. And when I say finish, it's already we have decided about the sound design, how it would be, and also the music. So it's a complete, the film doesn't finish. It's not that, like the European method that I have sometimes encountered, that you have to finish the edit and then the sound designer gets it and then the musician gets it. No, it's a whole process that closes with the final cut and already the music and the sounds on that stage.
In the film, at one point, Emma Stone's character, Bella, gets tired of Mark Ruffalo's Duncan and realizes his flaws through the way his quite unbearable personality unravels. But he just always comes back like a boomerang, because even if he doesn't want it either, he becomes kind of obsessed. And of course, then comes along a number of different archetypes trying to control Bella's life all along the way. But that part of it doesn't really support my analogy here. So my question to you, do you ever find yourself in a situation where you cut out the sequence or just a moment while working on something and it just, I don't know, keeps coming back to you, basically haunting you, making you doubt yourself and reconsider including it in the final cut?
Maybe sometimes, you know, I would be the one to suggest that maybe we need that there, but that must be a reason. For example, you know, if we have that in the minimal way, if we can understand this without repetition, we would rather cut it and shorten the film and, you know, have this character, as you say, follow exactly the steps of his, in the case of Bella Baxter, her development, and in the case of Duncan Weatherburn, his devolution to, you know, to an obsessed guy. So if all the stages are there, we can see it. If it's missing, of course, it would be good for the overall film. Yes, we don't care about the length, but it has to be there as a code. Otherwise, if it's missing, but you know, this might be a very strange and difficult process sometimes, because I do believe in the edit or in the narration of the film, the way we do it, something must be missing. We don't want to be over explanatory. We don't want to give everything to the viewer. He must work a bit to fill the gaps sometimes. And this is a curious, you know, dangerous process sometimes, but you know, Yorgos does take risks, and he does trust the viewer to bring in his own ideas and, you know, fill the gaps, as we say. And sometimes he just plays along with his presupposition, like especially in this film, because the premise is that, okay, guys, do we live our life as we want to live it, or is it influenced by, you know, polite society, as it is called in the film, and inhibits our being our true self? Bella Baxter doesn't have that. She didn't have the time to go to school, you know, to learn what is a civil society, to understand you can't you know, play with yourself in the presence of others. So all these things come natural to her, and her development, of course, is very fast, because she's growing up very fast, as Godwin Baxter said at the beginning, and all the stages of her development somehow had to be very clear and presented to the audience, but not only presented, make him question his own beliefs about certain things, and, you know, have his reaction somehow. Yes, it's you know, we give a lot of thought to what stays and what goes out of the film, and if, of course, we needed to bring it back, yes, we can bring it back, but in the end, we have enough time to see the whole film and be sure that, okay, what was needed is there, and what is not needed is not there. And sometimes, you know, of course, we had to cut a lot of scenes from this film, which were nice scenes, but, you know, they extended the film, and also already we have talked about it, and we didn't need to repeat it somehow. So we had to be very minimal in our decisions.
a major theme or even main theme of the film. And a major takeaway from it is realizing the importance of independence and then fighting for it. While working on a film, especially one that's this big and ambitious and so many people, so many departments depend on each other, each other's work, working together, finding the best solutions together is a major key to success. However, everyone needs some room for their artistic approach. How have you kept your independence while working on bigger and bigger projects? Or should the question be, can you keep your independence in these environments?
Yeah, it's a good question, but I come to back to this answer because, yes, we do the same procedure, we follow the same procedure, we have the same freedom that we had when we did, let's say, Kineta, which was budgeted 20,000 euros. Dogtooth was 250,000 euros. But the method still remains the same. As I said, we don't get a lot of interference from the studios. Of course, that has, you know, it has to be proved in our film. Like, for example, when they trusted us with After Dogtooth, we did The Lobster, which was from 200,000, 250,000 to 4 million, the budget. We did have our independence. It was not extremely, you know, expensive film. But then when the results come and producers see that, okay, this is a successful film, then the next step was in budget wise was The Favorite, of course, which cost about 17 million euros. But then, yes, it you know, especially in this industry, it has to be proven right, in the sense that, you know, it made a lot of money for the producers, like 90 million, so they can say, okay, this guy knows what he's doing. And of course, the biggest step was this, because it was the first time Yorgos did a studio film, you know, with a lot of artwork, and the budget was almost double than The Favorite. But I think it's going well. You know, it has a good buzz. The tickets are coming. It will be Oscar nominated, I hope. There was a lot of BAFTA nominations. So yes, I mean, if they trust the artist, and if they let him do what he's doing, I think is the best thing. Of course, it's not always happening. We do get notes from the studio about this or that, but again, this is the stance that director keeps. You know, if for example, if you want me for what I am and how, or on how I do the films, let me be myself. So don't change it, because I've seen a lot of good directors going to the States, especially from Europe, and then suddenly they lose their independence. And, you know, you can see the same things, because the studio system is too strong. And also the idea that a film must satisfy everybody, it's a bit risky. I don't think you can satisfy everybody. And, you know, we are lucky up to now to be left to do our work as we, you know, as we wanted to do it. And that's also a reason why Yorgos prefers to keep, let's say, me as a collaborator, because he understand all this way, and I work for him, and I'm not getting influenced by other opinions. And also the sound designer, Johnny, he's working with us ever since we did The Lobster. He's the same. Robbie Ryan, he entered in The Favorite, and he did Poor Things, and also the next film we are just finishing, Kind of Kindness. So if he trusts some people to follow his vision and his personal taste of things, he keeps them, and, you know, he gives them more chances. And of course, other departments are maybe different. How do you say, demands? Like, for example, the artwork on this one was enormous, so he had to find the right person. But in the end, because he does have a very personal taste on things, he dictates somehow to all the departments the way we must follow, keeping them in this strange world that he tries to find, but also giving them, in that sense, a lot of freedom to, you know, surprise him, to do something more, but towards the same direction, as a matter of fact.
You just mentioned kinds of kindness. And in a Guardian interview, Mr. Lantimos said at the end of last year, maybe on the final day, on the 31st of December, that the film is already shot. At that time, it was already in the editing room. We already knew that it's going to be an anthology, and he added that it basically felt like shooting three separate movies. Hopefully, we'll be able to see it this year, but until then, can you tell us a little bit about it and your experience with it, or should we circle back to it when it's released?
Well, honestly, I cannot say very much, many more things than what he said, because, you know, we're obliged to keep this, but I can say that, yes, it was shot in New Orleans. We just finished the final cut, as a matter of fact, and now we enter in the stage where, you know, a lot of visual effects have been done, and the sound design is the mix is being done, and yes, it's three different stories, but what connects them? First of all, the actors, the same actors, play on the three different situations, different roles. And there is one character, I cannot say much, that appears as himself, as, you know, the same character in all three films. So they are connected somehow in a strange way. So they're not completely separate. But also they're not connected in the narrative. They're connected through this character, which has the same story on all the three films, on all the three stories. So that's most I can say.
Yeah, thank you. Well, Yorgos, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Aaron.
A final thing, tomorrow is Oscar nomination day, so fingers crossed and good luck.